Blog Talk Radio.
He didn't turn no episode on.
Say it
with him. He didn't turn no episode on. I don't see my number up there. No, when you call in. I'm looking at it. Call in. Oh, it's there. Okay. Rumalese Chan Rajin, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Ashhadu ilaha illallah. Ashhadu ilaha ni Muhammadan Rasulullah. We only bear witness and we testify there is no cause for the law, and that Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, who is the seal of the Prophet, there is no more prophet to come. We thank you for listening. We're here tonight on the Talk Talk Radio Station to bring the common sense teaching. There ain't nothing deserved to be worshipped besides one God. Sorry, we're late. Brother Hameen had to go to a film, and he was auntie, and he buried to, I guess they buried the day he's going to a restaurant. So we're going to open this show up. We've got one person with his hand already up. And we're going to bring that person in, Brother Suja Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, I'm Islam.
Well, Brother Suja, you know, you ready. You got it. Turn it over to you.
Alhamdulillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. With Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, I bear witness and testify that there is only one creator, there is only one God. And I bear witness and testify that Prophet Muhammad, the peace and blessing be upon our Prophet Muhammad, is the seal of the Prophet. For Allah's name, most gracious, the most merciful, master of this day of judgment, thee alone do we worship, and thine aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those whom thou hast bestowed thy grace and mercy. Not of those whom thy wrath is brought now, nor of those who go astray. I mean. We'd like to give all the brothers and sisters the greeting of peace of Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're glad to be with everybody and be on the program. And this is a program. The name of it is the Message of Hassan. And alhamdulillah, we are a group that is basically dealing with images in religion. That's what the Message of Sun is all about. Images in religion. You know. And we asked the question, what would happen if I would come to the Caucasian nationality. And the reason I'm using Caucasian nationality is because their image is out in the world as the Son of God, or as God. What would happen if we would put all over the world our African American image as God's son? of God in the flesh, of the Lord, what psychological effect would that have on the mind of the world children? If they come into the house of worship and see, and they see a black image up there. Brothers and sisters, what it'll do to those Caucasians, it'll make them want to be like us. It'll make them want to have nappy hair. It'll make them want to have black skin. It'll make them be us. You see? And this is what's going on in the world today. We got a psychological problem that's in the world today. We got two images. We got two so-called colors. We got the white, and then we have the black. We have those two colors is competing in the world. And in the beginning, the white image was out front. But there was leaders in the African-American community that convinced the world that black is superior. So it was a tug of war. It was a fight. It was a struggle. You know, because they had, throughout religion, all over the world, a white image as God's son, as the Lord, as God in the flesh. So we came from out from under that. And there was a man called Master Prophet Muhammad. Master Prophet Muhammad saw what was going on here in America. And he saw that in the Bible, there was white image throughout the Bible. And he saw that they had pictures of so-called God's son as a Caucasian man. So what he did, he picked out the color black. And he got the people that was on the bottom of society, on the bottom of society, and use them to establish black superiority. And that's what happened. That's what happened today. That's why so many people call themselves black. But that's how it came about. We need to know how it came about. It came about because Master Prophet Muhammad, a person that called himself Master Prophet Muhammad, came among the poor African American peoples and worked with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad looked at the idea and liked the idea, and what he did, he established the idea that the black man is God, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, God of the universe. You know, that's what happened. And you had people like James Brown. You know, he came. I heard him on television, and making a statement that the reason I put out this song, I'm black and I'm proud, and I feel like I'm black and I'm proud, is because Elijah Muhammad. Excuse me. It's because of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad put it out, you know. And I remember just like it was yesterday. I remember I had left Louisiana in 63, and I had moved to California, you know. It was going on then. The idea, I mean, they had the Nation of Islam that was established there in California, and it was kind of big, you know. And they was pushing the idea that the black man is God, you know. Then it came out with black Muslims. Ain't no such thing as black Muslims, you know. It was a gentleman gave us that name. The imam knew about it, and you can get it on any. Video on the YouTube, just type in the origin of black Muslim. You know, where did it come from? And you'll see, I can't think of this man's name, but him and Imam Wabi Muhammad was on the same program. You know, and he was the one that named it us, black Muslim. So we went along with it. Imam Wabi Muhammad went along with it. The imam knew, and he told us that it was a whole lot of things Master Muhammad put out wasn't true. It was not true. It's not true, but the people's gonna grow out of it. They was gonna grow out of it. They're gonna come to the realization, you know, with what is right and what is wrong. But they gonna come to that realization themselves. They gonna see that this is wrong and this is right. You see. So we started calling ourselves black Muslim. They had the song out, "I'm Black and I'm Proud." They started buying black combs, combs for natural, and they started wearing the hair natural. The black man had a natural. The black woman, she had a natural. Everybody had the natural. And that was a proud time. That was a proud experience. Us walking around with a natural, you know, with a black comb in our back pocket. You know, a white man making all the money, you know. It don't get up to the point that where is that right now, you know. That the peoples is getting more and more woke to the truth, to the reality of what is what. And the more they use the truth, the slower they're gonna pull away from that idea, you know. And we gonna get our identity, inshallah. You know, I remember the Imam said that who is self. I used to always wonder who was self. Who is self? And the imam said, self is a righteous Muslim. I never will forget that. He said, self is a righteous Muslim. That's our identity, you know. But we're going to slowly come to that. We're going to come to that. We can't force it on the people. We right in the middle of the people. They feel proud now. They are excited, but they go. But we had to realize that we on another level. We on a much higher level than they are. We can see some things that they can't see. You know, we living in the same world. It's real. It's real that some people can see what other people can't see. Some people know what other people don't know. We have been blessed. Amen. Wahhabi and Muhammad community, we are some blessed people. We have been blessed, you know. But we can't go around downing people. We can't be bragging on ourselves that we are blessed by God and you ain't blessed. We got the knowledge. You don't have the knowledge. Allah says in the Quran, there's no compulsory in religion. There's no force in religion. We know the truth. But slowly, he makes Muslims, they gonna have to come into full knowledge of the truth. Because that was real effective during the time of the Nation of Islam among Muslims. It was real effective, black. The concept of black. You know? But they waking up, we waking up, everybody waking up, and when they come become wide awoke, they gonna know the truth. Jesus said, know the truth, know you the truth, and what the truth is gonna do when you know it, set you free. So that's the way it is. It's just that Muslims know some truth that other people don't know. If you ain't reading the Quran, you know we know a whole lot of truth that you don't know. Now, if you pick up the Quran and read the Quran, you might come right along with us. But as long as we reading the Holy Quran and following and trying to follow the Uswa, the wisdom of Prophet Muhammad, we way ahead of you. Way ahead of you. You see? And that's the truth. That's the truth. But the young peoples and some of the older people that's using the term black and things like that, they gonna be okay. Just leave them alone. They gonna be okay. They gonna be just fine. They're going to be just fine. The brothers and sisters in the Nation of Islam, leave them alone. They'll be okay. They're going to be just fine. They'll have nowhere to go but to Muhammad community, but to the Quran, but to Prophet Muhammad. They'll have no way to go. You know, we go around them. And sit down and talk to them and have food with them but we be teaching them, we teach them the truth. Alhamdulillah. We teach them the truth. We don't whoop them with the truth. We know how to bring it to them. We got to bring the truth to them. Now that's just foreign. That's just a fact. We got to tell them the truth, you know. But you can know things, and you can know it, and your friend would be some of the main people that don't know these things, and so you want to have to figure out a way to bring the truth to them. You know, under the law. I remember I was in. I was in a meeting, and a sister that was in a wheelchair, Sister Betty, and we had the Fogolaris over there, and we was talking to them. So I'm a Dawa man, you know. So these are Caucasians, and they believe in Jesus, you know. So I just took out of time, and I brought them the truth. I took my time and brought them the truth. And Sister Betty said, "Oh no, 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 Shuja, you no, 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 you don't do that." So, I told them, you know, in essence, I told them that Jesus is not God. God don't have a son. And there's no such thing as a Trinity. All that's in the Quran. I can go and I can back it up, you know. So I told them that. And so they saw that Sister Betty was upset because Sister Betty was bringing it as though I was disrespecting the guest. I was disrespecting the guest. And so I told them. I said, our leader, Imam Wahid Muhammad, told us what true love was. And I told him, I said, he told us that true love is when we got strength enough to tell you the truth, even though we stand a chance of losing your friendship. And they understood. Sister Betty understood. They understood. And the lady, she asked me, say, Ms. Mama, I want to ask you something. She said, could I keep a little small image of the Holy Mary? Or just a small one, you know. So we, you know, we had a conversation. We talked, and alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You know, Allah blessed us, and we had that opportunity. We used that opportunity. We brought them the truth, and if anybody was going to be taking the pressure, I was going to be taking the backlash from it. You know. But we thank Allah. We thank Allah. It's the same thing when you're outside. When you're outside teaching. You know, some people is going to be offended when you bring the truth. So there's a way that you bring the truth. There's a way that you come to the people with the truth. You don't come to the people with the truth with a bull whip and gasoline and tar and feather, you know. You try to be as polite and gentle and as nice as you can, but you got to tell them the truth. Alhamdulillah. So we thank Allah, and we thank our brother Amin for having us here, the spot right here, and giving us the opportunity to speak the truth. And we pray that we said something that was beneficial, and we came to you in peace. We're gonna leave you in peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, like I said, alhamdulillah. If there's anybody else who would like to raise their hand and get into this conversation and share what you understand and what you believe, because we have to tell the truth, alhamdulillah. Okay, we got another brother. Raise your hand, brother Muhammad Sharif. As-salamu alaykum.
Hey, wa alaykum as-salam.
Alhamdulillah.
No, I just hit the green button, nothing else is saying.
Yes, sir. You go here. You got it, Brother Sharif. You ain't no stranger. You got it.
I don't think you can hear me. Can you?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. We can hear you good. Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Praise be to Allah. Yeah, sometimes you hit the button, hit the wrong button, and all that, you know?
Yeah, we all do that.
Yeah, Two Dog gave a good history on how the black term came about and all that, you know, from God Muhammad, he came in, and the racial psychology, white man being God, he came, the black man is God. I mean, we ran that from when I came in 1972. But that was going on when Farrar came in 1930s.
Yes,
you know, by the time we came in, I mean, people coming in from all over America. Everybody coming in. The black man is God. I remember first time I went to the temple, you know, and I heard that. Man, I couldn't wait know, you saw that flag up there, that flag they had when you come in the temple at that time, the wall of Armageddon and all that. It's like coming, I was reading a book, they got a book out, I don't know if y'all got it yet, two of them, book one and two by Dr. Zakiya Muhammad, The Mother of the Nation. I don't know if y'all got them yet, man, get those two books. I mean, you can't put it down. Mother of the Nation by Dr. Zakiya Muhammad. So anyway, you got a
with the name of the book?
Oh, yeah, it's called The Mother of the Nation.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay.
Mother of the Nation, Clara Evans Muhammad. It has a picture of Sister Clara Muhammad there. And under that it says, Mother of the Nation, Clara Evans Muhammad, wife of Elijah Muhammad, mother of Imam Babadeen Mohammed. And the book is by Dr. Ara Zakiya Muhammad.
Okay.
We got two books out, book one and book two. I mean, you got to get these two books. So anyway, they got a picture there of the flag. You know, first time you come in the temple that day, and you saw that flag. You know, the war of Armageddon. You remember that flag?
I remember.
Yeah, man. That's right. I mean, the first time I saw that, first time you come in there, it's like you come into a whole new world. You know, a lot of people say the same thing. Once you came to the temple, it's like a whole new world. You never saw nothing like it before in your life. You want to know, what are you Muslim about? But once you come in that temple and you saw that flag, then which one will survive the war of Armageddon? You remember one time on the left-hand side had Christianity and American flag, and right under that, it had that cross, slavery, suffering, and death. And you saw the African-American blacks hanging from the trees and all that. And on the right side, you had Star Crescent, Islam, freedom, justice, and equality. Well, once you came in the temple, it's like a whole new world. You had no idea what went on in the Muslim. At that time, from the black man is God. So I couldn't wait. The first time I went, I said, can we go back and tell my wife about this? And I started telling my friend and all. They act like I had lost my mind or something. I'm talking, everybody else is talking about the black man, the God and all that. I mean, it was really something, bro. I know once, because at that time, if I said, saying too much and talking too long, just tell me, I'll excuse it, you know. But anyway, you know, when that time I came in 72, you know, we was, you know how we were. At that time, all we did was we partied. We did a lot of partying. We did everything. Everything not supposed to be doing, we were doing it. So anyway, that came in March, and September I got my ex. When I got my ex, they knew I was going to the temple because I used to stop working, driving to Texas. I would call my taxi and go to the meet every chance I get. So anyway, we used to have a New Year's Eve party, a celebration every year. Somebody, there was a big party at somebody's house, bringing in the New Year. And this night, everybody there, all the talkers, the rappers, and, you know, all the stuff we used to do, and I started talking that. Oh yeah, some people, you know, they always got the flow. I mean, he's always talking. He always got the crowd. But anyway, I started talking about this black man being God and all that stuff, and everybody left out of the crowd out of the room by myself. I guess we better call it, some of the people in the white coats and everything, because he's gone, boy, but I'm telling you. And that's where we're going. Where we live, right across from the project, now had a lot of Muslims there, and they had the paper with the paper we had at the time?
The name of what?
Anyway, the name of the paper that we had before Imam Muhammad came to leadership, you know, during Nation Islam.
No. It was the Muslim Journal.
No.
My people were Muslim Journal.
Yeah, Muhammad speaks. That's what it was. That Muhammad speaks. And you know how everybody goes through
here
doing it.
Okay.
Muhammad speaks. Had a lot of second takes, too. I mean, we had two or three second takes right in Harlem. I mean, second takes were big. I mean, you go in there sometimes, get to buy yourself a sandwich or something, you hear the brother talking about Islam and all that. I mean, it gets your attention. It means it gets your attention. So anyway, we're going to had that big car that night, and everybody was talking. I started talking about the black man's girl and all that. Everybody left out the room. And right across the street where I was living, there's a project there. And brother almost looked like the whole project had converged this long. I mean, everybody was coming to the temple. Everywhere you look, there was the sisters staying there dressing and everything. The brother put on the bow tie. I mean, that was something at that time. And I realized, I think he did that for his whole leadership. The black men, all European, they wasn't saying nothing. I mean, and you really think the black man was God, because the white man, excuse me saying that, wasn't saying nothing. I mean, I'm glad Muhammad, Farah Muhammad, they had guys. Black man is God. That went on for 40-some years. But then Muhammad came in, and he corrected all of us. He said, the white man is God, the black man is not God, the Allah created God. Oh, man. Some people couldn't stop that. They want to see with that. I mean, this has been a great history we got here. So, praise you to Allah. Thank you, Suja, for bringing us to let
us
know about the history and how it came about and all that from one. And praise you, name you was trying to remember, that was called the Black Muslim, that was Dr. Eric C. Lincoln.
Yeah, Eric C. Lincoln is the one. That's right. That's the one I was kind of thinking of. Eric C. Lincoln was the one that named the Muslim Black Muslim.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
We got to pass it on to our children. They got to know the history. They got to know the truth because we carried a lie a long time. When we was black Muslim, you know, we wasn't no God. You know, but we carried that lie a long time. So when we pass this information on to our young folks, we got to pass it on, you know, where we let them know that we knew that we wasn't that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a psychology that was being used. We got to let them know that, you know,
mm-hmm.
because they gonna hold us responsible. You know, for saying that we black and all that other stuff, and that we God and things like that, you know.
And men, many of us believe that too. I mean, a lot of us believe that too.
You got a whole lot of people believe that Jesus is the Lord, and white people is. Yeah, you got to, because that type of teaching, that's what the message of concern is about. That's what the question is about. What would happen if we teach that same psychology, you know, to Caucasian people? What would happen to the world's children if we teach them that the black man was the Lord, the black man was God? What psychological effect would that have on the world's children? You know,
that's right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Praise be to the name. Man, Bethlehem, I mean, he came and spit the whole planet out.
Man, he had the whole truth. He saw the whole picture.
That's right.
He saw the whole picture all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Praise be to Allah.
Yeah. Praise be to Allah. Okay, then. All right. Thank you for taking my comments. Keep on rolling. Keep on rolling.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah, Brother Muhammad. Take care now.
We're all praying. Okay. I'm being a Muslim. Being a human, being a Muslim, meaning we are the quality human being that Allah has created. Meaning quality that we follow the guidance that been given to us through the Quran. And we tell the Tell them the truth. The book has been tampered with, and the Quran comes to correct all the tampering in that book and all the other books that have been
absolutely.
That's what we have to tell them. So they've been very skillful to keep Prophet Muhammad out of their ears and understanding of the majority of the people of the world. You should be able to go into a high school or college or nowhere and not know or hear something about Prophet Muhammad. So if they keep Prophet Muhammad a secret, we ain't going to do that. And they put out what they wanted to put out because they want to continue to control the world. You know, they take the word like a black cat. Made that cat a evil, one of the evil thing that they that you can imagine, especially around Halloween, when they talk about the black cat. But in talking about the black cat, they referring that black cat to us. They say we evil. We are the problem. We are the terrorists. Everything that we are not, they're telling us we're them. And they got our children telling us we that. And in the music, the rap music, the ungodly music that people play in their house, that the Little Women's and call and make African American men think they tough when they carry a gun. Or they look at each other. Oh, they talking about hurting people that look like them. And this is what that image have done. They made people that look, who got dark skin, think they lesser. And the people who got the light skin think they best, because we didn't put up white water and color water. We didn't put that up. But we lived under that Jim Crow idea, that racist idea. And they call themselves color that they don't have. There's not a white man on the, nowhere in scripture God say he made a white man or a black man. He said he made a human being and we come from Adam. That's what Allah said. And Prophet Muhammad said the same thing. We're the children of Adam. And when he led all the prophets in prayer, he called Adam, first man, his father. They led all the rest in prayer. So we are the children of Adam. And Caucasian people have been tricked, thinking they are white and better, that this earth belonged to them, God came in their image.
There you go.
They were given these lies, and these lies pump their head up and make them think they're better. But then Pharaoh get the same message and pump his head up until the reality sets in that Moses, God, is God. So this is the reality. Why call people things they are not? The word white means pure. If you know some pure white people, please let me know. Bring them to me. You know some pure black people, I'm talking about black as the tires on the cars out there. Bring them and take a look at that idea. God said we're human beings.
Yeah, I do too.
God said the best one he created is one who obey him the best. That's what Allah said. That's where I go back. I go back a lot. And because you got African American in all these high offices, and they ain't doing nothing but getting the money and letting everything in the world happen to us. While we depending on them because they supposed to be black. They're not only black, they're evil, and they are no good, and they don't deserve a fine name that, like you said, Master Farrar counteract the word white and said, we black. But we original. He had the main thing. He said, we were the original man. We were
that was part of his psychology. That was the he used
that. When they followed the scripture that God, when they being nice and kind, when they not stealing, we not telling a lie, they all reading them. So let me bring Brother Muhammad up. He got his hand up. I don't want to recognize him. Brother Muhammad,
from Columbus, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. May Allah's peace and blessings be on us in Cuba, and we thank him for the permission that he's given us to again to speak on this message of concern. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we really reflect and be like I came in on telling whoever was saying a few minutes ago how blessed we are to be the most intelligent people on the planet in this day and time. But we have to look at the real history. Don't you know, for going over 1,444 years, babies like our babies like our grandbabies, and our great-great-great-great-great-grandbabies, who we were, some of them might have came over here as slaves. Look how long the people follow the whispers of the shaitan makes us act so dumb since Allah revealed the Quran to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After Prophet Muhammad, there was supposed to be no thing going on except when Allah wanted you to call the judge. Because the believers should have never turned their back around, especially after they enter Mecca, after we had full circle and came back to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cleaned it out for the final time, and climbed upon it and called the world to prayer who believes, knowing that anyone else, we was the believers, are supposed to be like Prophet Ibrahim. Our life and our death is supposed to be for Allah and what he has blessed with, and we will let nobody turn those around. But look how long the children of those who call themselves Muslims have let Shaitan some kind of way get them engaged in a dialogue that makes them have doubt about the direction that they're going. Now that opportunity is ours. The descendants of the slaves in America and the associates or the followers, or whatever you call them, of Imam Warbi Muhammad, who he said, and the world knows that he was whatever label they want to give him, a reviver, a salvation, whatever they want to use. But we know we are a new people who can't, this time, inshallah, deviating conversation distract us from establishing this model community that Prophet Muhammad left to the world a little over 1,400 years ago if they really wanted. It's only by their own free will that Allah will permit all of those people to fail who have failed. We know in the Quran.
I'd rather stop because we are the deliverers of the message of concern.
Mm-hmm.
And if we protocol, like we told in every other areas of block programs or whatever, and we don't respect not each other, but respect Allah and his messenger. And this opportunity he's given us to be the people who are not going to turn around this time. Again, like I said, just let your mind fall back. Go all the way back to 1,400 years ago. And all the children that has been born since the time of the Prophet Muhammad all the way up to now, the parents have, for some reason, have not protected those children. And they have not yet grasped the Quran or the life example of Prophet Muhammad or who they are. Matter of fact, they have so far, even us in America, was going to be lost. Foundation in the wilderness of North America. That's how far we went away from the establishment of Al-Islam by Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Allah only protects the Quran and those who submit to the guidance of the Quran and follow the in the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad. Everybody else, we can look at history and see what that happened to. What happened? Where are the children, all the way back to 1,400 years ago when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them a complete, the revelation sent to him by Almighty God Allah, and an example to show that Al-Islam can conquer any world, even the world that he made hijra from and return. There ain't nothing no important. There's nothing no more important than us bowing down to Allah, his guidance in the Quran, and examining the life example problem. Even our leaders, our final leader that the world has had, has told all of them what he told us. My leader is Prophet Muhammad. You can't follow me no more. I'm not with you no more in the physical sense. And there's nothing I can do now to guide you into what you already know. Are you going to be like those before you who ignore not only the Jews, the so-called Christians and other people? Are we Muslims here in the United States of America, especially in the community of Imam Warji Muhammad, where we took over the leadership of those Muslims who had been here 200 or 300 years who called themselves schools of thought? Do you really believe that we will not be tested? Do you really believe that Shaitan don't exist? And do you really believe that Allah is not God? We ain't got nothing to do but just take our money and resort, whatever it might be right now, and quit talking and start walking and be like Prophet Muhammad, be Quran, live, walking. But I think we need to really, especially those of you who are outside of you who are not Muslims, because you have been fooled longer than we have. But you just think about that. 1,444 years, and there ain't no tell us how many children have been born, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, whispered in their ear and all of that. Are we going to let the same thing happen to us, those of us in the community of Imam Warji Muhammad, for real? Are we really worried about the money? Are we worried about going back to darkness and calling ourselves black, Afro-American, and all these crazy names we just prayed and got out and under, and know our focus on to be Khalifa? It's time to wake up on the real side. It's time to sing a real song. It's time to get back to the truth, because our children are in the same situation. All them other children who done came here, Allah has called them back for the last 1,400 years. Now it's our turn and our children's turn and our grandchildren's turn, and some of us might even have great-grandchildren now. Do you really think that they won't fall by the wayside the same way as history done showed us what the Muslims had let Shaitan trick them again over and over again for 1,400 years? We have to really, really pray that Allah, especially those I would say who was over 60 years old, we better pray for real and establish our prayer and build this model community with whatever we got. We should not die in a state of America still pissing on Muslims and pissing on everybody else, and America still having robbery and armed robbery going on in our midst. Is this what we're going to really leave our great children, our grandchildren to, and all that stuff, and we're going to celebrate and pretend and play dumb? Just like Imam Muhammad said, what in the hell is wrong with y'all? Can't y'all see that y'all will be the most worst messed up people since the history of Revelation if you don't watch yourself? Shaitan is pulling out all stops. Every time Allah raised one from amongst the human family to call people back to faith, he don't fool around. He pull out all this trick. He pull your mama, your daddy, your baby, your wife, your husband, he'll use any of them he can use against the believers if he can get away with it. This ain't no joke. For real. Look at the real history. Good, we're about 400 or 500 years ago. Look how long the people of faith of the Quran has let Shaitan deceive them. That is the message of concern. What in the hell is wrong with those who Allah has raised to their full awareness and they let themselves be called back to darkness? Here we are not free from blackness and we run into it. Here we got the light of the Quran and we run into the darkness of the Bible, the Torah, and other books, all kind of books. And got the Quran just sitting there using it as an artificial shield when we want false respect. We don't want true respect. We want artificial respect. Feel so sorry for the children of the world. And we don't have to feel sorry for ourselves because we got prayer. We are the main people on this earth right now. Those of us here in America, those here in the community of Imam Warrior Muhammad, whether anybody understand it or like it or not. Because we are building on the new foundation of Allah's mercy by trying to embrace and grab and live this Al-Islam. Going on 70-something years. With all this guidance and mercy that we done received. And we got the world looking at us like we are damn fools. Said they are dumb, blind, and because this is what you call real constructive criticism. Is when you use your self-accusing spirit to tell yourself how deceived you are, how phony you are, how you going through this, so that and then we ask Allah for forgiveness and get back on the job.
Allahu Akbar.
Because you right now, Shaitan will love. Put the Muslims in America in slavery again. He would love
my way.
Just want to say that. That's the Lamb of Lake.
Well, I like to say this, going to bring the two jobs. Bill is going to come back up, bring two jobs back up. I believe we're winning. I believe any book that we believe that people are writing, God inspired people to write books. And Imam Warrior D. Muhammad read and shared books, read more than just the Quran. He read all kind of books about manipulation, different people. They got a book out there, most favorite, all the 100 most famous people, men who've been on earth, and Prophet Muhammad is number one. So all these books add to the greatness of if people want to, and people got to seek the truth if they want the truth. If they fail to seek the truth, they fail to, then they the big loser. Allah says that every human being is responsible for themselves. But they don't want no truth. God don't force nothing on nobody. So 80% of the believers did not, the imam did not follow or try to help imam do this work. Then they the big loser. They deceived themselves. Allah said they thought they were deceiving Allah, but they only deceived themselves. So those sincere people who still trying to realize that image is one of the major problems in the world. That separate people from a color, and to that move, or to that plane, or to the people realize that, and we believe they come into realization that image got to go, so we can all be human beings on this earth. And Allah, in time, He would change this world. Allah said, never would He change any people condition until they change what's in their heart. So I believe a hard change comes because all the pressure this world putting on the human being by being a homosexual and the other thing they're doing by the police killing the people and all these other stuff, and they're killing women now. I believe all this stuff is just part of the plan to put us back together, and I believe one day we're all going to be together again as one. Amen. So one day everything we see now is going to be like it never happened. Now, I believe you, ma'am, when you said that. So I'm going to bring Brother Suga up to comment on what's been said. And Brother Muhammad, don't you go nowhere. Well, we want to hear some more from you. Bring Brother Suga up. As-salamu alaykum.
Oh, wa alaykum as-salam. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. I just like to say, and sometimes, you know, I be wondering, I said, why does Allah bless me to have this kind of insight? Mm-hmm. And I said this before. There was an Indian told me that one of the tricks of Satan is to force the truth on the peoples. And by forcing the truth on the people's going, many of them going to turn away from the truth. Now, it's truth that he's forcing on them. Also, Imam Wahid Muhammad said this. He said that if I had got the truth from the Middle Eastern brothers, they would have tried to convert me. He said, I never would have gotten converted if it wasn't brought to me the way Master Farah Muhammad brought it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Imam said. And the Imam said this also to us. And so have we got it in writing. He said, the first I want to say this to you, that whether you realize it or not, you support my call to have racial imagery removed from the worship of God are doing something more important than anything anyone has done since Prophet Muhammad. Nobody since Prophet Muhammad has ever done anything that is more important in religion than this, removing all racial images from worship. In fact, that is exactly what he emphasized in his preaching. There's no God except Allah. There's nothing like him. And the Imam said, listen to this closely, brothers and sisters. In the Holy Quran, it says, we shall make them know what it is they have done. The Imam said when Prophet Muhammad preached it, it wasn't time. This hadn't even came to Prophet Muhammad yet. So it wasn't time. He said that God has not chosen a time to go into the depth of what they had done with this corrupt idea of worship of God.
Yeah.
I want you to just think about that. Let that soak in. It wasn't time yet. And the Imam is talking about us now. He's talking about us in history. He said that, but he dealt, to my God, the blow to that idea. The full extent of the harm that it had done to society was yet to come.
Yeah.
It had gained. So I couldn't go into the Quran and deal with this the way we're dealing with it now? And the Holy Prophet and the Holy Quran say, we shall make them know exactly what it is they have done.
Yeah.
And it's talking about we. It's not talking about Prophet Muhammad. It's talking about us. The Imam said, now it's going to take time. But you who are doing the work, Allah is with you.
Allah is with you.
So don't let nobody got to tell you Allah ain't with you. You doing something on your own. That ain't nothing that the Middle Eastern people are doing. All that foolishness. The Imam said, if you are sincere, if you don't go out with racism, if you don't go out with racism in you, and don't go out as a racist to condemn another racist, go out as a follower of Islam, a believer in the true religion, accepting the leadership in the community of your Imam Waridin Muhammad. If you go out there like that, innocent, desiring nothing but to serve Allah in the right way and to do what is right and proper as a Muslim, and you support this drive to remove all racial images from worship, I guarantee you that the people may want to kill you, but they won't be able to kill you. They may want to put you off your job and make you starve. They won't be able to starve you. Maybe you will suffer a little bit, but for suffering, you will be rewarded so many times more. So much so, Allah, for giving you a chance to sacrifice some of yourself. I'm telling you that there is nothing that Allah is with at this particular time more than he is with this drive to remove all racial image, root all racial effect from worship. The Imam said, fear not. Allah is always God. Allah always in control. And goodness is always the power on earth. All you have to do is let the good come out of you and help other peoples to bring it out. So trust good thoughts, good motivation, and good desire. If you trust them and have faith in them, and you will change the world. No opposition is too big for us. Imam Waridin Muhammad.
Allahu Akbar.
The Imam is making it clear that they gonna come at us all kinds of ways. Call us disbelievers, not followers of the Quran, not followers of the Prophet.
Yes,
you know.
And what
they gonna come at us all kinds of ways. They gonna want to kill you.
Yeah.
If they can lie on you, when you can lose your job, they'll try to do that.
Yeah. That's right.
You said come through with all kind of tricks.
Yeah. If you stand up, then that's exactly what they're gonna do. They're gonna stand up against.
Allahu Akbar.
Yeah,
can I say something?
Oh, yes, please. Alhamdulillah. Excuse me for. Go ahead.
Okay. Bismillah. Imam said in the Life Battlefield presentation that he gave, great, 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 great guidance of freedom. He said the need for dealing with his image is not important anymore. He said the people are crazy. Let me finish. Iman said, we are dealing with people who have lost their mind now. And when you're dealing with people who lost their mind, everyone knows when a person loses their mind, they need counseling. And those who follow the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad know that one of the duties will come where we have to counsel people and help them after realizing they have been duped or tricked or hoodwinked or whatever you want to call it all their lives with this phony image that God had a son and a white man was even that son. That many of them will be on the verge of insanity if we don't know how to counsel them and comfort them from this shock at realizing what they have done to their own soul and the many souls of others before them, especially their souls of their children who they have misguided, etc. Like Prophet Isa said, get the whole truth, the final truth, because then you will know what your service is to Allah and what your job is. Your job now is to counsel the people. The image that in their mind, they are in a state of denial with it now. Most of them don't believe it no more. They just doing it because no one has given them the guidance of the Quran and in the history and life example of Prophet Muhammad in a way where they can see that Allah is most merciful and will forgive them for the hell of a sins that they've been doing for the last 3,000 or 4,000 years, all the way up to now, still stomping people to death in the street, turning people against their own nature and making them think it's right. Again, in closing, Imam Muhammad said, listen to the life battlefield and see where Imam lets all of us know in his community or who's listening that our job is on a higher level now than this image on the walls of people's minds, hearts, etc. They now are insane, lost, and our job is to bring them back to reality if they want to, if we provide the type of sanctuary, the type of refuge, the institutions where they can come and ask the believers. And remember, the believers are going to be of every type of human reality that they had already learned. There will be anyone they're looking for. In Al-Islam, they can find a lookalike to direct to and begin, and that person is supposed to be a Muslim ready to counsel those who are like him. That is the wisdom of learning our differences so that we may know one another, so that when they lose their mind, we got somebody in the community to talk to that person or that ethnic group or whatever they still might be calling themselves when they come to the refuge of Allah. And they won't be homeless like the homeless people out in the street walking around now. They walk in the street. Some of them have college degrees, but they lost and can't even feed themselves. They need counseling. They need Muhammad.
They're coming to lead
them in the all truth now.
Yeah, they're coming to the Masjid every Friday, six, seven days a week, asking to be given the Shahada Tain to join the Muslims.
Yes.
So young men are coming, young women, families are coming. So,
most of them that you see, they haven't came from the church. They come straight out of the wilderness like we were.
We don't know what
they are lost
from
in the wilderness of North America. And they're coming out of it to try true Al-Islam.
Well, I tell you what, there's a preacher that we be with.
We were told
that Jesus told him when Jesus was God, he said, Jesus is my Lord. And we told him, Jesus prayed to the one you call, he prayed to his Lord for protection and guidance. And the preacher hollered, Hamdulillah. So we winning.
And no doubt about it, I don't know, you know, I don't know when you're going to see the big change, but it's coming. And that's what we see. I see a big change coming because all the lies have been sold out there, and they're coming to an end. And Allah say when truth comes, it knocks out the brain of falsehood. And I believe that day is on the rise. Alhamdulillah. So we got a sister who's going to give us a poem, and we want, oh, she got off here. Okay. Well, okay. So is there anything else you want to say, Brother Muhammad? Well, I got Brother Hameen. He's here. Let me see what he's got to say. He's been listening to us, so let's bring him on. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. All praise be to Allah.
Sure.
You know, I believe, like I said the other day, it's two things that we need to give to the masses of our people, because I know from all the way from Georgia to Los Angeles and New York and Chicago in between, we see our people out on the street talking to themselves and running off to the traffic in the street, and the people are killing them, people are choking them. Our people, you know, they're mentally ill, and people are killing them and beating them up, and they beg, and they stand in the line at the McDonald's when we be getting our coffee, and they be begging us for change and stuff, and that's probably happening all over. Our people are bad off, lost their mind, but we know that the message of concern is a healing. The message of concern is a healing. Remove all racial images from worship, and that Caucasian Christ that our people was raised up under have bred so much inferiority into us. You know what I mean? Self-esteem, low self-esteem, low self-worth, depression, you know. And so our people are naturally reacting to a outside stimulant, outside adverse, evil stimulant. And they're reacting to that. And also, the second thing that I think is causing a mental illness in our people is for our people to know. They know. These people, you know, was raised up in America. They know that we were enslaved for 400 years. They know that. They've heard it. And they know that we were abused and lynched, you know what I mean, castrated. Our women was raped. You know, they threw us in prison. Mass incarceration. They know that. These people know that. Them people running around in the street, they know that. And they say, and nothing is being done. So, like I said, you know, they go crazy. You know, it's too much for them to understand. They say, nothing is being done. Nobody's helping us. And we, you know what I mean? You know, so we know that we had a message of concern. We got that solution. We had that healing, right, after we teach them about that. Also, we know that reparations is coming. Reparations in memory of our ancestors, like Molly Bell. There's a lady named Molly Bell. That's what she said before she started talking. She said, reparations in memory of our ancestors, you know. It's coming. There was a lady, one of the first ladies, one of the first women, one of the first reparations group was a lady named, look this up, Google it. Her name was, her last name was House. And she, in 1897, it was about 1.9 million ex-slaves. In 1897, slaves were so-called freed in 1865. In 1897, she had noticed that all these ex-slaves were out in the environment, homeless, sick. They were dying out of disease and stuff. And she start taking their phone numbers. You know, not, excuse me, not phone numbers. She was taking their names and where they were from, who was the slave master, what plantation they belonged to, and getting information about as much as she can. And she was asking the government to give these people a pension because they had no pension. Their children couldn't take care of them. They were sick. They were dying out. They were dying of diseases. 1.9 million. And the lady who told the story, her name was Mary Frances Berry. She was the leader of the civil rights, the government civil rights group from 1980 to 2004. And she was at a reparations hearing, and she told this story. And I listened to this story over and over. And this name, and this woman was getting names, asking the Congress to give these people a pension because they're ex-slaves. Now, you was giving the veterans pensions. You never did give, you know, she was saying, you never did give them 40 acres. You took that back, 40 acres and a mule. All we're asking for is a pension. What it was, they say the figure was there was 4 million slaves, enslaved Africans in the year 1865. There's 4 million of them. By 1897, it was about 1.9 million, almost 2 million left, and they were in bad shape. And this lady was asking the government, and so it was working. People, they was getting the names and where these people from, and it was a self-help group, and it was a mutual aid type thing, where these ex-slaves was getting together and helping themselves, and this woman was organizing them, and all of a sudden, people start not liking what she was doing. Some of the ex-slave masters didn't like what she's doing and asking the government, I guess it was J. Edgar Hoover at the time, J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover started out early doing stuff to us, you know. And hey, hold on one second. Hey, babe. Okay, okay, you're going on in, huh? Okay, okay, good to see you, good to see you. And who is this young man here?
That's William.
William, how you doing?
Hey, Mr. George.
Okay, uh-huh. Great.
You remember the crazy kid that was jumping off the stuff when he was looking for the house.
Okay, okay, now. Oh, we'll talk, bro.
All right.
Okay, I see you now, Talia. Bye-bye. Yeah, so, you know, we had a funeral today, so I'm seeing my relatives. And so they didn't like that, so they start asking for an investigation of this group. There was a self-help group, and she was helping organizing these ex-slaves, and they put her in prison. They put her in prison for a little while. She was born in 1861, and she died at, I think, 61 years of age. But that was one of the first. You know, they charged him with the same thing I think they charged Marcus Garvey with. But interesting, this lady was saying, she was saying that a lot of the people who she had running these groups, went into the Marcus Garvey movement, and she said even into the Muslims. You see what I mean? And it was very interesting. Her name is, her last name is House. You know, I must be getting old. I mean, as much as I love this sister already, I forgot her first name. But she had a group, something about mutual aid for ex-slaves. I'm going to look it up while we're talking here. I didn't think I'd ever forget her name. Golly, I just heard this story yesterday, looking back let's see. Hold on one second here. Hold on one second, my brothers. Yeah, I can't see it right now. Anyway, inshallah.
Yeah.
But let me say this. Law Akbar, let me say this, that in the morning, I'm going to do a Sister Claire Muhammad group. I want to urge the people not to build masjids, but build Sister Claire Muhammad STEM school, and don't build masjids. And then we're going to go into reparations in memory of our ancestors. That's going to be the group, and I want inshallah, I want us all to spread the word. Y'all to spread the word in the morning, right after Lifeline now, after Lifeline. And after Lifeline go off, called reparations in memory of our ancestors. We're going to spread this reparations ideas out. And because you know something, I mean, it's like I was saying, you know, Are we afraid to ask for our money? Okay, something's happened. Somebody got mute your phone. Please mute your phone. Are we let me ask you, are we afraid to ask for our money? If somebody owes us money or we worked or something, are we afraid to ask somebody for our money? You know, are we afraid? You know what I mean?
No, sir.
Because that's what it boils down to. That's what it boils down to. Are we afraid to ask for our money? Are we afraid to ask for justice? And our God says, stand up for justice. Stand up for justice. Don't let people just do this. Now's the time. Why is now the time? Because Biden just signed into federal law, federal holiday called Juneteenth. While mm-hmm. the banks were closed, the schools was closed, the post office was closed. I worked on a Monday. I worked on Monday. People was asking, Mexicans and everybody was asking, why is the post office closed? And this was my teaching moment. I was able to teach them a little bit about Juneteenth. You know what I mean? But people, that's a federal holiday. That's why reparations is getting closer. Because of the Rodney King thing, when the world saw Rodney King get beat all up by, and his brother came, Allah sent an angel named George Holiday out on his balcony, and he took pictures of that. He took pictures of Rodney King getting beat. And then he called the police department. The police department hung up on it, so he took the film of Rodney King getting all beat up, the life beat out of him, to KTLA Channel 5 here in Los Angeles, and then it went all over the world. It's because of George Floyd getting choked out right in front of us. The whole world saw that. And then the whole world erupted all protests all over the world. The human being was rebelling against that. George Floyd. Not only George Floyd. Mute your phone. Please mute your phone. You know, not only George Floyd, and then the little guy on the subway, this Marine got him and choked his life out, and people could see it. This is why reparations is close. It's getting close. It's getting closer and closer, because the world is seeing how wrong and brutal and inhuman the United States government have in treating us. You know, they promised us 48, and look, the calculation of the, you know, Professor Darity say that it's about 14, anywhere from 6 to $14 trillion that they owe us, right? How they calculating it, they're calculating it from the day that we were promised our 40 acres and a mule, and they reneged on giving us our 40 acres. So the 40 acres for each slave come out to about 40 million acres of land that was actually due us at the end of slavery, at the end of Civil War. Please mute your phone. Please, you know, you're interfering. Please mute your phone. You know, and 40 million was actually due us. So what is the present value of 40 million acres of land that was due us? About $14 trillion, anywhere from 6 to $14 trillion, you see? And so this is how they calculate. They ain't calculating all them years of just slavery now. No, they stopped it right at the end of slavery, 1865, when they promised us 40 acres of the mule and didn't deliver and even took something back from us. Not only that, all them massacres like Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know what I mean? Black Wall Street, they torched us, 300 people was killed. They bombed the city. This is what we are asking for reparations for. And are we afraid to ask for our money? Are we afraid? You know, yeah, boss, just go ahead. I know I work. Just go ahead. Keep the money, boss. Are we afraid to ask for our money? As Allah says, stand up for justice. Alhamdulillah. I'll turn it back over to you, Brother Akbar.
Okay, thank you.
I'll turn it back over to you. Thank you very much. Thank you, brother.
We work together. Brother. We're sorry about the passing of your aunt. May Allah bless her with the gender. Brother,
thank you, brother
Muhammad from Columbus, would you close us out?
Yes.
Brother Muhammad?
Who? Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum. Udubillahi
rahmani
rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladina an'amta alayhim. Ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. Amen.
Thank everyone for showing up. May Allah continue to bless us all. We are on the right track, and Allah with us, inshallah. Peace, Allah.
Allah, wa alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam.